Hello and welcome back to another episode of the More Than Digital Marketing podcast, a podcast about digital marketing and so much more. I'm one of your hosts today. My name's Jack and I'm joined by...
Joe.
You all right, Joe?
Yes, I'm good. Yes,
how
I'm
you doing well, today?
Thank you. Yes, I'm good. Yes, it's a good week. Yes, I'm all good.
Good. Well, we were planning to do this podcast a lot earlier today, but everyone, we've got a very full office today.
We do, yes.
So a lot of people in the office means a lot of meetings going on, and this is one of the places that people have meetings, so we couldn't actually get in to record a podcast yet.
Yes, space is a little tight at the moment.
Yeah. But that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the office is very lively today, which is nice for midweek.
Yeah, we've got pretty much everyone in the marketing team in.
Pretty much today.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every day.
No, that's right. Yeah, it's nice to see everyone in, a few people back from holiday, which is cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, nice that everyone is in today.
Yeah, what have you been up to this week?
It's been another busy week, very tech-focused week this week. Conducting a big tech audit for a client, doing some work on some backlist analysis, and some CRO stuff as well, which has been quite good. So yeah, it's somehow mid-Wednesday already. I don't really know how, but that means it's been a busy week.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was dragging as I hit Tuesday yesterday after having only done one day. But yeah, now suddenly it's Wednesday and I can start to see the end of the week, and mm-hmm. I haven't quite done everything that I
no,
hoped to yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. This is the first podcast that we've been on together.
It is, yes, it is.
So Matt, who has been doing SEO April, I don't know what a catchy title for SEO April is.
I think SEO April is fine.
SEO
yeah.
April.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. It was the EEAT April.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago we talked about EAT. Last week we talked about content audits. And this week we're going to continue that fascinating trend.
Essentially, yeah. So we were talking before about trying to build on the topics of conversations that we've already had. So as we said, not last week, the week before, we've been talking about the EEAT.
Yeah.
And then last week, talking about how to do a helpful content audit.
Correct.
Yep. I've been listening, don't worry.
Good. Good. And, I'm glad.
So yeah, this week we're keeping that sort of SEO train rolling forwards. Mm-hmm. And really just wanted to sort of talk about, if you're starting to notice your traffic is dipping, whether it's SEO or whether it is organic traffic, what are some things that you could be looking to do to, I guess, yeah, help that trend or avoid that trend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we started though, before we hit record, we were talking as well about some of the recent sort of like trends that are happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the, is it GSE?
SGE.
SGE. I had all the letters there.
Search generative experience, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was going with generative search experience.
Same but different, yeah. Yeah.
So SGE.
Yes.
So yeah, give us a bit of a rundown. I've thrown you under the bus now. But we've said the SGE, so search generative experience.
Yeah.
This has kind of been looming for a while. It's definitely something I've spoken to about clients mm-hmm. before. But yeah, what is the search generative experience?
So essentially, it's a new approach to search results. It's Google's attempt at integrating generative AI into their search results to essentially provide users with more content and more context without them having to navigate to additional sites, which...
Isn't that a problem?
yes, to a degree. It's a problem that necessarily doesn't have clear-cut solutions, but is one that I think can be overcome with different strategies to still make use of that feature if and when sort of it actually gets released properly. Because as you mentioned, it has been looming for what feels like a significant amount of time now. It's still in the sort of beta testing phase. There's no real word on an official release for it. I think that sort of indicates there's a lot of tweaking going on behind the scenes to make sure it's kind of offering as much value as possible whilst not taking away the efforts of people who sort of use Google as their sort of main platform to generate results, such as us working in SEO. So,
well, exactly. I think it's very similar to the conversation around featured snippets, mm-hmm. where the argument is if people are getting the answers that they need from the search results without ever even going to someone's website in the first place, doesn't that sort of almost take away from the importance of your website, where people aren't even visiting in the first place because they get that answer straight from the search engine.
Correct. But essentially, that is the case.
I could see the argument, and I know the argument for the featured snippet is that if you are seen to be the one that's giving that authoritative take, mm-hmm. where you're the one that has the featured snippet, you're getting that brand awareness out there, and people are recognizing you as the thought leader that is the expert in your field that is essentially leading that conversation, where I have the definitive answer for this,
yeah.
and my business knows best, so you can trust us, and people will sort of recognize your business for that. But when you sort of start to blur those lines of, you know, here is a just generated answer from Google that is taking all of these different ideas from lots of different places,
yeah,
suddenly it's who's got the right answer here, and where has this come from? And
yeah,
that sort of like is my concern, maybe from an SEO perspective, of just, you know, whose answer is this, and
yeah.
how can you prove that you really have the best answer if Google's taking the best answer from lots of different sources? If they again, like, I don't know fully what the final SGE GSE
yeah
search generative experience
yeah
SGE what that final sort of output, I've seen like examples of like the beta, what it might look like,
mm-hmm.
but whether it's going to have loads of different sources as part of that output,
yeah,
it remains to be seen. But obviously if you're listed as one of the sources, if they are going to be sourcing things, then that's good.
Yeah, and I think that's where the value from an SEO point of view comes in, is, you know, if Google is compiling, you know, answers to questions using SGE, they're going to compile the information from a variety of different sources. So if you are one of those sources, that shows that you have an authority within that space, you have that trust and that sort of recognizable brand presence within that space for them to gather that information or part of that information from your site. So that's where we're kind of reinforcing that authoritativeness and trustworthiness within the content itself. But I think that's also one of the things that perhaps one of the reasons why they're taking their time to sort of make sure they get SGE right. It's becoming a mouthful, isn't it? because, you know, Google's very much been championing strong authoritative content, you know, championing EAT, you know, very hard, and making sure that they're kind of weaning out AI generated content, and they're really pushing for this sort of environment where, you know, the content that users have access to is relevant, is from a trustworthy source. So then to create sort of a more AI tailored search results that goes against that is kind of not really intuitive of the two things being aligned. So I think that what sort of the end place that SGE needs to get to is the results that they provide are no different to what a user would see as trustworthy if they were manually looking for that content themselves. Because it's one thing for Google to say, you've got to make your content really trustworthy, and you've got to make it, you know, have a lot of authority, and the people behind it need to have sort of presence within the industry, etc. But then for them to chuck out a load of AI results that aren't necessarily following that same kind of process. So
yeah, exactly.
I think that's where how that is being worked out is going to be quite interesting to see, but there's definitely still value within that. And like you say, you know, we've seen how feature snippets can be effective, and there is probably an argument to say that SG is potentially an enhancement of that, and it's still going to have, you know, a positive effect. But there's also, you know, on the flip side, where we can see potentially a lot of users just not bothering to click on websites when they don't need to.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I think as well, though, the way that things sort of, like, as you say, it's a natural evolution, right? And the way that things are moving forwards,
mm-hmm.
if it's, you know, featured snippets, I'm sure that they're going to stay. But then also, if it moves to this SGE, then it's also a case of, like, how does Google sort of, like, take that information from your website? And it will be a case of maybe a future step, and the next step is going to be reviewing your website to sort of understand how do you present the information,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's going to be easier for Google to like pull it out,
yeah.
to present as part of the,
yeah.
SGE.
Exactly that. Yeah. And at the moment, SGE really kind of is focused more on sort of longer tail searches. And I think initially when it is released sort of to the public full time, I don't see that changing massively. I think it will be more tailored to providing results based on longer term searches based on searches revolved around questions and things like that. So that does then lead on to the consideration of, as you say, how do we optimize content to fall in line with a piece of content that SG would pick stuff up from? And I think that's going to dictate how we go about sort of content planning, content strategy going forward. And it will also be very industry specific as well. You know, there will be some industries, you know, e-commerce, for example, where SG probably won't have as much of an impact because people are searching for products to buy. They're not going to get that information from a search engine. Obviously, there's Google Shopping. I'm aware of that. But it's, you know, for people who are searching for the top five hikes in the Lake District, SG will present all those results. And then you can go, okay, great, I'll go on those hikes. You don't necessarily need to go through to the next stage. Whereas if you're purchasing a product or you're interested in a specific service, then, you know, navigating to a website is still going to be what you're looking for. So I think it's going to be very specific across various industries. And that's where the sort of difference in tailoring the content comes in.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point, though. And I think it is going to be also just query led as well, that there are certain kinds of queries that are going to be, you know, better suited to a web result.
Yeah.
And, you know, like information from a website, as opposed to just, like you said, your example, the five best hikes in the Lake District. Like, for me personally, I'd probably want a bit more information than just a list. You know, not that that was a bad example, but it's more, I guess, that like some people would want that, which is great. And then other people would want, like, give me the map. And, you know, I want to see some photos of the route and like all this sort of stuff. Like, but if, if you're literally just like, just give me a postcode and, you know, I'm going to go. Then that's also fine. So like different, what, different horses for different courses, et cetera.
Yes, exactly.
Things like that.
And it'll be interesting to see how they develop that over time and whether they implement a case where SG is applied to every single query. I can't personally see that being the case, but I think that's going to be interesting to see how, when it does, you know, officially launch to sort of the public, how, you know, we're able to see and actually how we're able to monitor sort of the impact of SG. And that's going to be another factor from a sort of marketing and SEO point of view, is how do we actually monitor our performance, you know, in terms of considering how we're ranking for SG and how we're contributing to those AI sort of generated results. And I hope that Google provides some kind of source or resource to be able to do that. You would hope. So I think that's going to be interesting to understand that
across definitely
different clients.
I think, you know, the way that Google tend to work is just they do, you know, slowly drip feed this information. But if it's a, you know, big and sweeping change, they do signpost this stuff fairly well. But, you know, again, it just sometimes this stuff takes time and they're sort of like figuring things out and we have to sort of be there for the ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, remains to be seen when SG will release, but it's definitely an interesting time and something that even now I think we can start considering and sort of, you know, almost preempting what potentially we see is going to happen to get a jump on things.
Definitely. That, I think, probably leads quite nicely into the main topic for today. Which is, you know, Google impacting on website traffic. There's the segue. I hope you enjoyed it. But yeah, as I said at the start of the episode, one of the things that we wanted to talk about today was what do you do if you notice that your traffic has dropped? Probably the first point to highlight is, how do you notice if your traffic has dropped? Because it's all well and good to say, I've seen that my traffic's down. How do I even see that in the first place? So I think we're just going to run through how do you identify any impacts to your traffic month to month, year to year, and then talk about some of the things that you can sort of dig into if you do notice. I mean, if you go follow those first steps and see everything's great, everything's going up, you can stop the episode here and you can just move on.
Yeah, if your traffic is in a positive direction, you can switch off and tune in next week.
Exactly. But if you do look at, if you go and look in your data and you see actually things are not where I expected them to be, things are worse than I expected them to be, then yeah, we've got some ideas to talk about on next steps. Where do you go from here? So first things first, how do we check and see if our traffic's down? So we're specifically talking about organic traffic, but this is going to help across the board, looking to see if there are any other sort of areas that we are picking up. So whether it's the Search Console, whether it's different areas as well. So as I've already alluded to, one of the first places you can go to is the Google Search Console.
It is, yeah. Fantastic tool that every single web professional should be using. Very easy to go in there and check kind of trends. Search Console data is usually a couple of days behind, but other than that, it is extremely accurate in terms of tracking impressions and clicks to the site. So you'll be very easy to see trends of that dropping. And similar sort of tie into analytics is obviously the next kind of key tool that you can see across the board. You know, you can track every conceivable metric you can think of pretty much these days in terms of traffic and organic traffic to your site. So if you're seeing drop offs there, whether they are sharp sort of off a cliff drop offs or incremental kind of over time, whether that be sort of weeks or months, you're seeing a general sort of decline in organic traffic, then that's something that you'll be very easy to kind of pick up from across those two platforms. And then sort of thirdly, I guess you can utilize sort of third-party tools, you know, the likes of Semrush and other kind of ranking tools that also have sort of traffic integration with those. Again, you know, they potentially won't be as spot on accurate as Search Console and analytics because that's sort of taking tracking directly from the site, but they're also fantastic indications of how the traffic is performing to your site overall. And you'll be able to, again, sort of fairly easily see any drops or any kind of, you know, decline over time or a sort of downward trends of organic traffic to your site.
Yeah, I think so. There are tools like Semrush is one. I always say Ahrefs or Ahrefs.
Ahrefs, yeah.
Ahrefs is another one. Got Moz, another tool that's very popular. I think it's they're all very similar. I don't know if there's something that you've sort of identified that would make one better than the other, but it tends to be.
In my experience, they've all got reasons why they are better than the other, but yeah. In essence, they all have the same end goal and provide, you know, pretty much the same sort of information, particularly when we're talking about tracking kind of traffic trends to your site. They're all sort of fairly similar in that regard, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you would sort of go to first? I think personally, I would start in analytics and sort of get like a really good overview. And then if you notice that there's something maybe that organic has been impacted, that's when I would start to really dig into, okay, let's look at the Search Console. Let's see what's going on. Obviously, there's also Bing Webmaster Tools, which is the Google like versus Bing equivalent of the Search Console. So yeah, have a look. You know, if you're looking in analytics and you see that organic results are impacted, you can look at the Search Console. If you look at Bing Webmaster Tools, two different sort of areas to look at, because it's always worth remembering that Google isn't the only search. Isn't the only
there are platform. Some others out there. I don't know what they are.
No.
But there are some,
Bing.
Apparently.
Bing's one.
Bing. Well, there you go. Apparently Bing is a search engine. Who
there
knew?
You go.
Who knew?
Crazy.
Yeah. I think analytics is always sort of the key place to start. Yeah. I think that's going to have the most accurate information, the most amount of data, the most amount of resource for you to be able to check any drops across organic traffic and other metrics as well. So always start with analytics. And then, as you say, you know, when we're looking to then drill down into the data, we can utilize Search Console and Semrush and other tools like that.
So imagine this horrific scenario. You go and you look at your analytics and you see your traffic's down. It's been impacted quite dramatically to the previous month or more dramatically to the previous year. Panic stations. So the question is, what do we do now? So we've found the data, we're looking at it, and we can see, things aren't going the direction that I expected them to. Things are on a downward trajectory.
Yeah.
What do we do?
So I would always start with checking kind of external or non-page factors. So these are things that may have externally affected the site, potentially for a number of different reasons, but you know they often can cause sharp or incremental traffic drops. So things like checking for actual manual actions, whether you have any actions by Google against your site for one reason or another, whether that be a content issue or whatever it may be, that's going to obviously significantly impact your traffic. So always a good thing to check. Also worth checking if there's been algorithm updates recently. As we know, Google likes to update their algorithm and it likes to mess everything up. And, you know, even recently we've seen on the back of the March update, we've seen various fluctuations across multiple sites and multiple industries that have affected traffic. So always a good thing to check, A, if there has been an algorithm update, and B, sort of understanding a bit more about what that update entailed, whether it was focusing on a specific area.
Yeah, that was something I was going to add to that just around the algorithm update, that when an algorithm update happens, it's not an immediate sort of like, oh, well, this has happened, so we have to do this. It's algorithm updates are a bit sort of vague.
Yes.
Is maybe a nice way of putting it.
They are vague. Yes.
So we have a rough understanding of what the impact of an algorithm update may be.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a case of, okay, well, this algorithm update has impacted the site and we can see that. And so what we can do going forwards is try and, you know, make these changes. But again, making those changes isn't going to suddenly change the traffic to the site.
I wish that was the case, but
unfortunately not. So again, with SEO, it's the long game. So, but that's why, again, like, it's so important to have your finger on the pulse and identify any of these changes and know what changes are coming and know the impact that it's having on the site so that you can start to plan and be reactive going forwards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sad news. It's not going to just turn things around.
No,
in a month.
Unfortunately not.
It will be
the sooner you can sort of spot it and get on top of things, the sooner you have the opportunity to turn things around. And I think that's the key. And I think a couple of other factors before we kind of move on to some other reasons. Incorrect tracking is often one thing. You know, potentially it is just a tracking issue. You know, you might see a sudden drop off in traffic, but actually if the tracking perhaps is broken or someone's made some changes and they've not done so correctly, that could be a factor. There could be things like any server issues that can often cause, you know, drops in traffic, which again is something sort of outside of web performance. It's something physically, you know, sort of incorrect, or, you know, it's sort of not set up in the right way. On that side, you could also have all of a sudden had a sudden loss in backlinks as well, which, you know, from experience has had an impact, particularly if you're losing a large number of really, you know, strong backlinks. That can sometimes have an impact, and that's something we can investigate and talk about further.
Well, that's also something that Google will say, that links aren't important and what's most important is the content on your site and always having the right sort of answers to the queries. But on the other side of that, everyone knows how important having decent backlinks are. Yeah. And so Google says backlinks aren't as important as all this other stuff, but actually having really good backlinks from authoritative websites is really important and really valuable for...
Exactly. They have obviously come out, you know, multiple times and said backlinks are not as important, but they've never said they're flat out not important and we don't consider them. Yeah. So, you know, that is definitely a reason why, you know, you could have seen your traffic drop if you've seen a sudden decrease in that area.
So with all of this that we're saying, I think it's important to also keep an eye on just your backlink profile and the health of your backlinks. Are your backlinks growing? And if they're not, that's something that also you could look to address in terms of if that's, I guess, an area for concern. If you're seeing that your backlinks have just been, you know, you've had 100 backlinks for the last 6 months and there's been no growth, that's obviously a concern. That if suddenly you lose 20 of those, that's, you know, 20% of all of your backlinks to the site.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, that applies for all the points so far we've talked about, is actually just keeping on top of things.
You know, definitely.
Whether it's, you know, checking if you've got any manual actions, whether it's the tracking, or, you know, whether it's just actually externally checking algorithm updates and kind of latest news and things like that. I think it's just important to stay on top of all those things to make sure that none of them are going to have a future impact on your site at all. And then when we sort of talk about other potential factors, we're actually looking more on kind of internal stuff, so things that may have changed on the physical site itself. So potentially there's been URL changes that haven't been then redirected or set up correctly. Potentially, you know, the sitemap could have been updated incorrectly to, you know, not include, you know, important URLs. Same with robots.txt. You know, someone might have accidentally put in, you know, a rule that is therefore resulting in a negative impact on the site.
Well, that happens, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Yes, you wouldn't believe it. But,
we had Thornton's relatively recently.
Yes,
with their robots.txt telling robots to ignore all pages on the site.
Yes, people like accidentally putting in a no index in the robots.txt, which is always great to see.
So big websites, you know, experts make mistakes. So something to just be very aware of, that, just cover all your bases and just check all these different areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's things, you know, to do with the actual content itself. Potentially you've published a load of new content that's causing cannibalization with existing content you potentially didn't realize existed. So that's going to be viewed negatively in Google's eyes. Things like if you've just flat out gone and deleted a load of pages, that might also have an impact as well. And then, you know, going back to sort of URL changes and things like that, if there's a bunch of redirects that haven't been set up correctly, or, you know, error coded pages, 404s, things like that, that's also, you know, all going to have an impact. And then we're just sort of looking at general sort of tech issues with the site that have cropped up or potentially have just sort of been building over time and haven't been picked up necessarily in sort of full sort of context, but are now starting to be sort of recognized by Google, and actually that's now having a negative impact, and as a result your traffic's going down. So I think one of the other things to sort of caveat as part of all of this is it might not necessarily be one solitary thing that's caused, you know, a drop in traffic. It may simply be sort of a lack of attention to your site over months or potentially even years that you haven't necessarily seen an impact in that time, but now all those sort of lack of changes or lack of kind of work put into the site has then sort of started to drop the traffic down. And that's sort of also something that is to be sort of very sort of aware of, is just kind of you may be seeing a result of just a lack of activity over sort of a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I guess it just goes to show just how important it is that we just stay on top of SEO regularly. Yeah. And ongoing.
Yeah, I wish it was as simple as making changes and then just that's it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's very
you
much
do
a
need
case
your
of
finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. Yeah, keeping on top of things. And I think it's sort of, as we've mentioned, SEO is, you know, obviously a long-term process. It's something that doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, the importance of maintaining the sort of quality and you know, just in general, maintaining your site over time to prevent any kind of significant or gradual drops in traffic is just super important. Because when we do see those drops, whether they be, you know, very sudden or sort of over time, it's going to take time to get that back. It's not an overnight thing. So
yeah,
preventing that as much as possible by maintaining your site is, yeah, super, super important.
Yeah. I think the other thing to say is that there is no, you know, nobody really knows the secret to ranking number one.
Except
we know.
Yeah, we know.
And that's what we're sharing today. But if everyone did know that sort of like golden, you know, formula, everyone would be ranking number one.
Yeah.
Do know best practice, and we do know like what's going to help. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, all of these different things are, you know, and certain sites, certain industries, certain things are going to have more weight than others. It's not as easy to say, you know, oh, the first thing you need to prioritize is this. Mm-hmm. It's a case of all of these things are equally as important as each other. Certain things maybe have a bit more of a priority, you know, like in terms of, if your site is, you know, broken, for example, it's not going to rank particularly well.
Yep.
So making sure that it's technically sound, it's, you know, functioning as expected, mm-hmm. is really important. And then there are obviously a lot of like things that go alongside that. But yeah, that's why it's so important to just stay on top of these things, but also just do regular audits, reviews, make sure that you're crawling your website regularly, make sure that you're have a good understanding of, like, you know, how broken is your website at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
That helps.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people may have the misconception of some of the SEA work that we do should only be done when you're looking to improve certain areas, or when because you've seen, you know, a drop, or because you've seen kind of a bit of sort of stagnant activity, but it's simply sort of not really the case at all. I think, you know, a lot of the SEA work that we do is on sites that are still performing well, but we know that we want to maintain that and just continue to improve that. And I think that's sort of something to always bear in mind, is that a lot of the stuff we do is not necessarily on sites that are performing badly. They're also on sites that are performing really well, and we're just trying to maintain that and trying to push that forward as much as possible. Because if we can get to site in a place where it's performing as best as possible, if there is any potential sort of negative impacts, you know, because of any kind of change in the next sort of, you know, 6, 12, 18 months, we know that we're in a better place to recover from that because of the work we've been doing, rather than sort of only focusing on areas that aren't performing well. And then when it comes to, you know, potentially a change in that same period, we see a larger drop off because of that. So it's all about kind of, staying on top of everything all at once.
Yeah, I like that. Maintain and improve.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's an element of preventative measures being taken.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But I think probably the misleading thing with SEO as well is like things are going well, things are improving, and if you just stop, I think you do tend to see like, oh, it's still going okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't maintain that okay, that, you know, 3 months of like maybe it being okay will suddenly start to like go the other way. And if you haven't got an eye on it, it can just potentially fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's not as simple as, you know, upping a bid on a PPC campaign. It's a lot more work to get that back to a place where it was performing before. So yeah, I think maintaining a site and continuing to work on it, regardless of how well a site is performing, is super crucial to sort of any site in any industry, really.
Yeah, well, we were having a conversation the other day about COVID policies on websites.
Yes.
And just, you know, I was sort of like just positing the question of how much of an impact do you think it would have if, you know, you went to a website or, you know, you had a website that just had loads of information still about the latest COVID policies and, you know, this is our social distancing measures and everything like that.
Yeah.
I think you made the really good point of how important it is to just keep your site up to date.
Yeah.
And so I think there are two angles to this. It's like, one, if you have all that information, that's almost a red flag to Google that this site hasn't been updated in a while.
Yeah.
And Google wants to see the most sort of like, it wants to have up-to-date content ultimately in the search engine.
Yeah.
It's going to prioritize a page that has, you know, that has up-to-date content versus one that's 5 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and then on the other side, it's, you know, if alongside that you're updating lots of content, then maybe it wouldn't impact things as much. But still, how relevant is that page is a big question.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, having sort of pages or content on that sort of topic that everyone knows is out of date, Google knows is out of date, you're essentially saying, you know, telling Google that content on my website is not up to date, which Google does not like. It's as simple as that, really. So, you know, I think the impact of that would be mitigated if the rest of your site you're regularly updating and you're, you know, regularly kind of pushing new content out and optimizing in other areas from, you know, a tech point of view and off page, etc. So
yeah,
the effects of that would be minimal. But you know, you would still essentially be saying that, like, I have content on my site that isn't up to date. And, you know, in certain industries, you know, Google may view out of date content as 2 weeks ago, in others it might be a year ago. But, you know, we're essentially telling Google that content on my site was relevant 3 years ago and it's not anymore, which it is only going to be viewed in a negative light. So I think the example of a site still having COVID-19 policy content on the site is a really great example of how Google might view out of date content, and it's always in a negative way. You know, even if you're seeing a page that you've had for the last 2 years that's still performing well, there will become a point where it becomes out of date and Google views it as not being as relevant as it could be, and you will then start seeing a drop off. So
yeah,
that kind of resonates across all content on the site.
And I guess that leads into that sort of idea of, you know, next steps. Where do we go from here? And, you know, with the lens of out of date COVID policies that are possibly lingering on your website, not to point any fingers, content audit is probably the best place to start. So you obviously talked about that last week,
yeah.
How to do a content audit. So yeah, definitely start there.
Yeah.
Do you have any pages that are clearly out of date? Doesn't necessarily mean that traffic is going to be poor to those particular pages, but it's a really good place to start to say, oh, actually, this could probably use just, you know, a quick once over to bring it to 2024 standards. And if that means removing it entirely,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't recommend that for a page that's performing well.
Mm-hmm.
But for a page that probably doesn't perform well, maybe it is time to remove that. Or alternatively, is there a way to bring it up to the standards of today to make it relevant and useful, you know, to any sort of query that might come up at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as you mentioned, kind of, you know, a content audit is probably the best place to start when you're looking at kind of resolving any traffic drops outside of the external factors that we talked about. And I think, you know, it might be even a case that you're with a business that over the last 5 years has, you know, started to offer a bunch of new services, but then you have a load of content that doesn't mention those services or doesn't kind of refer back to them or include them. So, you know, things like that, Google will consider and will say, okay, well, you know, your business has moved on, but this content hasn't sort of moved along with it, so therefore it's clearly not as relevant as it could be, so we're going to place sort of a lower value on that page. And I think you know, in doing a content audit, not only will you, you know, hopefully try and resolve your traffic drop, but actually it's just a good thing to do, as we spoke about, you know, in last week's episode. It's something that it should always be done on every website fairly regularly, just to maintain, you know, the relevancy and the sort of how well written the content is, because that, you know, is bound to change as well over time. So yeah, I think a content audit is always a good place to start. We do love a content audit here.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just a, I think in terms of straightforward steps as well, you can sort of identify, like, you know, your website, you know, your business, and you kind of know like what is out of date and what, hopefully using the tools that we talked about before, you know, if you're looking at analytics, if you're looking at the search console, you'll be able to identify what are the pages that are working for you and which ones aren't.
Yeah.
And that is like a really good, you know, always be data led. Mm-hmm. Don't just sort of assume, you know, that a certain page isn't actually performing well.
Yeah.
Like, use the data. The data's there. If you're using analytics, if you're using the search console, you are able to uncover, you know, what pages people are visiting.
Yeah.
And then that will help to inform you, yeah, where to go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think that's probably going to wrap us up for this week, unless you have any closing thoughts.
No, I don't have necessarily any closing thoughts. I think, you know, if we're thinking about other things that we could do just for kind of reference, I think, you know, potentially a technical audit is also a good thing to do, just in case, you know, it's sort of incrementally built up over time that you have a bunch of, you know, broken links or metadata that's out of date, or, you know, pagination not set up, whatever it may be. I'd love to personally do an entire episode on a technical audit, so if you'd also like to listen to that,
tune in next week,
then tune in, and I'm sure over the coming weeks I will talk about that. And if I do, the podcast will be significantly longer than this one. So someone will have to be here to keep me in check, because I could rattle on for ages about it. But
great.
That's a topic for another day. And then, you know, making sure like all the tracking is set up correctly. We know we spoke about how that could be an impactor before. So just making sure that's all obviously correctly implemented. And then, you know, potentially we could explore off-page options. So, you know, we spoke about obviously backlink profiles and things like that, but actually utilizing potentially other channels as well, you know, paid campaigns, social media, to just help kind of promote that new content that's come out of the content audit and things like that, to try and regain some of that traffic dip is always a good idea. So yeah, just some other bits and pieces that you can, you know, do to try and you know, get your content performing back to a place where, you know, you'd expect, and kind of push on from there.
Definitely. And I guess to sort of bring it full circle, always coming back to the search console, looking at Google Analytics, looking at SEMrush, Moz, Ahrefs, whichever one you're using, to understand the impact of the changes that you're making.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've identified the issues, you're making those changes, just keep an eye on the data and see, is this having the positive impact that you're expecting? And it's not going to be, oh, tomorrow my traffic went up 300% because I've made some tweaks to some content. But in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, 6 months' time, you should start to see that impact. And as you continue to make incremental improvements day to day, in those, you know, coming months, you will start to see positive results.
Yeah, it absolutely starts and ends with monitoring data. I can't stress how important that is, you know, across the board, regardless of if your site's performing well, if it's performing badly, if a bunch of changes need doing, if you feel like nothing needs doing, which, you know, shouldn't be the case. But monitoring data, you know, across the board, across multiple sources is absolutely crucial to any kind of marketing professional for any site.
Definitely. So yeah, I'd love to throw the question out to anyone listening. If you want to get in touch with us, just how would you go about any of this? We'd love to hear just general.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've taken any of these ideas, if you tried to run with them, if you've got any questions of how to actually implement this stuff, you can contact us at podcast@opticsolutions.co.uk. Yeah, it'd be great to hear from you. If you want some assistance or help, you can always reach out to us and we'll be able to give you a bit of guidance if that's something you need as well. But yeah, thank you very much, Joe, for joining today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been fun as always.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's not the last time.
I hope not. No,
right,
I
great. Hope not. Thank you so much. And yeah, have a great week.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers.